The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to say that.
I'm on her side, and I don't know exactly what her side is.
I think you're totally spot on with that.
I sound inept just to help you out.
It's been a rough week, thanks to your advice.
Are you a regular listener to this program?
As much as I can be.
There's your problem.
I would not ever disagree with you because you're so smart. You have a lot of answers to a lot of things.
You don't want to listen to me on the radio.
So what do?
I can't give you any direction.
Thank you for empowering me. I needed that.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
Well, do you know somebody who does?
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
You know how they say that certain songs get into your head and you can't get them out? They call them earworms. You ever have that happen at night, trying to go to bed, and this song starts in your head? And some of the worst offenders for that are It's a Small World from Disney World. I don't even know if they play that anymore. Too many people probably complaining. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. You know, the kids used to be leaving, I'd be singing, "Gonna be late, honey, did you forget your lunch money?" That's what happened. So what I found was that not so much songs, but my kids' kid jokes. When they tell you these things when they're seven, and you never, ever forget them. My son, when he was seven.
Hey, Dad. What did the turkey say upon receiving an invitation to Thanksgiving?
I don't know. And then you got to repeat it.
What did the turkey say upon receiving an invitation to Thanksgiving?
No thanks. I'm stuffed. And then the child just starts laughing. It's really bad. It's bad style to laugh at your own jokes. But somebody ought to tell a little kid that. You don't laugh at your own jokes. You don't say something funny and then laugh at it. That's like telling other people, hey, was I funny or what? Was that funny? Wasn't that funny? In case you didn't realize that's funny, I'll laugh to give you a signal that that was funny. Welcome to the program, Dr. Ray Guarendi. The program here, the doctor is in. The number for the program is 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. Questions about life and stuff. That's a good guy noun, isn't it? Stuff. You can use stuff for anything. What'd you guys do? Stuff. You want to come over to my place and stuff? Yeah, we can play some video games and stuff. It's always and stuff. I don't know what the stuff is, but it's always there. That's my second grader. What'd you do in school today? Oh, we just did stuff. So if you have to call in about stuff, that's okay. 877-57-EQUAL. A lot of reasons people call in. Questions about something in their own particular sphere of life. Or somebody else's, actually. A generic question, something they don't understand in the world of psychology or intellect or diagnosis, therapy, perhaps where faith intersects with psychology. A lot of people call in, and I get a lot of emails on this, where folks will say, regarding that caller, here's something that worked for me, or here's something you could have said that you didn't say. But, you know, you want to look at it that way, there's about a gazillion things I could have said that I didn't say because the call was 4 minutes long. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. We're moving into the holiday season, and the secularists really, I don't call them secular progressives. It's not progressive. It's secular regressive. And they believe that you can't say Merry Christmas, obviously, that it's going to offend somebody that doesn't believe in the meaning of Christmas. It's going to offend them. So you have to say Happy Holidays. Nobody better tell them that holiday is a derivative of holy day. Don't tell them that. They'll start campaigning and crusading against that. But we are moving into the holidays, Advent. And in and of itself, that does bring up, for many people, particular stresses for the time of the year. Now, isn't it amazing that we humans can do this? We can take something that for Christians is a very holy time of the year, anticipatory time of the year, and we can make it stressful. The things you have to get done. Of course, me, you know, as a guy, my holiday shopping's done, I'd say Christmas Eve, around 11:30 to a quarter to 12 at night, pretty much, for 21 relatives. So, what are some of the things that you can stress yourself about? Now, I would like to invite those of you who are anticipating with your anticipatory anxiety about the upcoming holidays, holy days. Whether it's relatives you don't see but once or twice a year, and you're thinking, they're going to be here. It's all I can do to take them for an hour and a half. Whether it's, I can't believe so much I have to get done. I don't know if I can get it done. Whether it's, we don't have the money this year that we had, and so what am I going to get for the kids? I know I'll get them a stick of gum. That's what we got when I was a boy, and we were grateful. Grateful children. Had to split a stick of gum with my brothers and sisters. We were happy children. Whatever it is. But here's one I want to talk about. Now, by the way, if you do want to call in about that stuff, say, hey, Dr. Ray, you got any ideas about how I can lower my agitation level or the pressure I put upon myself with the impending holidays? These Christmas cards I got to send out to people. And then I get a Christmas card that I wasn't expecting to get from somebody. And I got to hurry up and get them a Christmas card and get it back to them. I wasn't even looking at them on my list. There was a line that sticks in my head from the very long ago, what, 1980s? Jesus of Nazareth miniseries. And I think the scene involved Herodias talking to Herod. And it, I believe, if I recall this, was she wanted something from him. And I don't know if it was the head of John the Baptist or not. But she said, I demand. And he said, demand? You demand? He couldn't believe it. She's demanding? Well, my segue from that is, are you going to demand that your relatives and your friends or your adult children, thank you, Matthew, are going to come to your house equally? Now, your daughter-in-law has plans to take herself and the children and your son to her parents. Well, wait a minute. Last year, she went to her parents on Christmas Eve, and now she's planning to do it again. Wait, it's your turn for Christmas Eve. You're going to let your son know this, right? Or Christmas Day. Well, they're not going to get there till 3 o'clock. Why? Well, because they're going to the other side of the family in the morning to open gifts. Yeah, but you always open gifts. I mean, it's a tradition in your family. The temptation is to put pressure on someone to visit according to the schedule that you would like. Dr. A, that's only fair. It's only fair. We're getting shortchanged. Let's say that you are. What does it do you to put pressure on your daughter, your son, your daughter-in-law, your son-in-law, some relative, to be at your place? We all do it. You know you're doing it. We do it. We have to bite our tongue because when our kids come into town, there's relatives on the other side that are in town too. So whatever they however they decide to make the schedule is their decision. We're not going to say, but wait, I think you need to be here Christmas Eve. What good does that do us? I suppose you could put enough pressure on a relative, an adult child,
to be at your place, but do you want to do that? But if I don't do that, then we'll get 32% of the time, and her family will get 68% of the time. That may be. Well, my son should understand that we're his parents too. That too may be. But here's the question. What does it gain you to demand that? If they're not coming of their own volition, because that's the way they want to set it up and schedule it, if you say, this is what I think you should do to be fair, you went there Christmas morning last year, so I think we should get Christmas morning this year. If they come to that conclusion themselves, you win. If they don't, for whatever the reason, they give Christmas morning again to the other side. What do you gain by pointing that out to them? What do you gain by saying, we get our time, you know? Well, Dr. Ray, it's only right. That's not the question. The question is, what are they choosing to do? Here's something else to consider with this. Make sure there is no reason why they're preferring to spend more time at the other place. I know we don't want to look at ourselves and say, hey, am I a little harder to be around? Am I a little more unpleasant? Are there situations here that would make them more ill at ease and they can be more relaxed over there? I know you don't want to think like that, but it is one possibility. If it's not, if it's just that this particular in-law says, I want to spend more time with my family than I do my hubby's family or my wife's family, then if the spouse agrees, you can't do much about it. When you demand, you lose. You don't really gain anything. You could put enough pressure on somebody that they feel guilty and they have to oblige. Okay, you can do that, I suppose, and some people will acquiesce. But if it's not what they wish, then what do you really gain? I personally think that by being easygoing, by saying you need to do what's best for your family, however you want to set it up, we're good with that. We can be flexible. No problem. Don't worry about us. I think that's a beautiful way to do it. I truly do. When you got adult kids and they're juggling schedules and you're the one who says, however you guys decide to set it up is good with us. We'll work around it. That will put them very much at ease. And who knows, that may make it even more likely they'll want to come and be with you. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. If you have a question about something coming up that you figure is going to be a little problem here on the holidays and you want to kind of run it by me, I'm here. I'm here for you, Dr. Ray.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you have an insurance plan that pays for everything, even things you don't believe in? There are options. You can join Solidarity HealthShare, a faith-based health-sharing community. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can save you money with prices starting as low as $384 a month for families.
Call to see how much you can save. 844-398-9399. That's 844-398-9399.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
I encourage you to look at a report that came out several years ago by Americans United for Life. It's called Unsafe. And this idea, it's something else that has been pushed out there by the media and by Planned Parenthood and other pro-abortion organizations, that there are all these safety measures that were put into place when Roe versus Wade became legal. But as Father Frank Pavone and so many others say, abortion never, ever, ever changed, really. It went from the back alley to Main Street with little or no restrictions or protections. Many of the independent abortion facilities are less regulated than your local nail salon or hair salon. The fact that they have to, quote unquote, work on their messaging shows that we are making a difference.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
I was reading the paper the other day, and that's a sports figure that's really got a bad reputation. But he's dating this very, very pretty actress who was engaged. And I said to my wife, I never understand why some of these guys that are just jerks off the field get the most attractive women. And she smiled at me, and she said, why, thank you, dear. Well, we had a call from Ginger. I'm not sure exactly what the twist on this one is, but Ginger says she wanted to thank me for affirming, it's a good psychological word, what she does every year with her adult children. She puts no pressure on them to be with the in-laws or to be, I imagine Ginger's the in-laws in this case, so she puts no pressure on them. And she says, and now I don't know if this is good or bad, but this is what she says. They still end up at my house every year, though. Maybe Ginger is trying to say, oh, no, that's okay. You can go elsewhere. That's just fine. And they show up anyway. You know, she's pretty slick. That's her way of saying, no, you don't have to come over here. Don't worry about it. She's thinking, good, I can just have a nice, peaceful Christmas Eve without the children in the house setting fires. 877-573-7825. There are lines all over the place open, which usually doesn't happen on this program, but they are there. So if you would like to call in and you say to yourself, well, I don't know, I've tried before, because I get a lot of emails and people say, I can't get through. Well, you can. We have 9 lines, so there's a pretty good chance you're going to get through. But I want to talk just a brief bit more about this. It isn't just at Christmas time that we are tempted to do this. Have you noticed? For example, we might say to a relative, hey, I don't see you. How come you don't come around anymore? Well, again, the question is, what do you gain by making somebody feel obligatory to showing up? If you say, you don't call, you just don't call. See, I think when we do that, it's born out of a sense of my due. Well, you need to contact me. You need to come over here. You need to visit. Well, that would be nice. My mom used to do this. God bless her. My mom used to say, Ray, don't see ya. Mom, I was just there 2 days ago. Well, I know, it just doesn't seem like we see you. She's Italian, so she had to do that by law. But I have young friends. They're not my friends. They're the children of parents my age who say that they'll get pressure from aunts and uncles. Yeah, you don't come over here. You need to get over here more. That kind of thing. Which, again, that may be true in the sense that, okay, I want to show respect to these relatives and visit, especially the elder ones. That's true. But if you're on the not receiving end of those visits, what do you gain by telling an adult child or a niece or a nephew
or your godson, or even your own children, where are you? Haven't seen you. Get over here. Now, our caller from North Dakota does not have that problem. As a matter of fact, she's got the exact opposite problem. Hi, Anonymous from North Dakota.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thank you for taking my call.
I'm going to interrupt you. This is a pandemic, what you're going to talk about. It's everywhere. It's the number one referral I now get from adults. What you're gonna say?
I know.
Go ahead, my dear. Yeah.
Well, they're now 40 and 35, and their dad abandoned us, and he was alcoholic and left when they were 10 and 5. And I feel like I've just been, ever since that happened, the beating post for them. And honestly, part of the estrangement, it's kind of a little bit of a relief, which is sad.
Well, if they mistreat you, if they're still holding their resentments from how you were just a failure as a mother in their eyes, then I could see you being relieved. Who wants to get snotted upon with remarks, right?
Correct.
They don't come around?
No.
At all? Zero? Zip nada for years?
2 years.
2 years. Any explanation as they made the final separation 2 years ago?
Nothing really. It's just kind of a gradual. They're not married, no grandchildren, anything like that. It's just, I'm wondering if there's something I can do to reach out to them, but I've been away from the kind of snarkiness. The nicest word I can come up with.
You kind of like it, don't you?
I do.
I'm getting tired of putting the emotional energy into getting along with these people.
Right. But I was pretty much the opposite of their dad. He was alcoholic. I don't drink. I took him to church. He couldn't get him to church. You know, the writing was on the wall. I tried not to say anything. But
you were too religious. Come on.
Yes, I guess I am.
That's right. You're out of sync with the culture. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me give you the good news and the less good news. I don't know if it's bad news. You can reach out to them anytime you want. You can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can do that. The harder part of this is saying, I don't like their snarkiness. I don't like their remarks. I don't like the stuff they say about how I failed them. I don't like when they attack my religion. I don't like when they get rid of my politics. Gee, Christmas, back off. Okay, but remember this, and I'm working on this in a new book. You don't have to let any of that get to you. You take it hurtfully. You take it personally. You know, they're saying these things to me, and it hurts and bothers me. I just would rather not hear it. That's true. That's true. But if you say, well, if they're going to act like jerks, I'm not going to. And I will periodically reach out to them. And if they slap my hand away, they slap my hand away. At least I can live with myself. And I can tell my Lord that I did. Now, if they don't slap your hand away, if they say, okay, well, we'll come around a little bit. But we'll come around just so we can take pot shots at you, or periodic pot shots, then you have it in your strength to not let this stuff get to you. Nobody can make you feel any way you don't want to feel, my dear.
Okay.
I don't care what kind of junk they say to you. For it to hurt, you have to decide it's going to hurt. For it to bother you,
What is going on? Why doesn't... I wish I could stand up for myself to just say, you know, please stop. I can tell you, I see you're frustrated.
Well, stay there for a second, because I want to kind of go off on a little more details on this. 877-573-7825. Thank you.
the EWTN Family Prayer with Father Joseph.
Family, a prayer that we pray together is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me, our EWTN Family Prayer. Today we pray for those who are suffering with Parkinson's disease. Lord Jesus Christ, consolation of the afflicted, you are our refuge. We pray for those who are suffering the effects of Parkinson's disease. As they lose their physical strength and abilities, increase their spiritual strength and abilities. Renew their inner spirit day after day, and through their share in your sufferings, give the grace of conversion to sinners. In their weakness, reveal your strength. Give peace and joy to those who care for them. Amen.
How can we regard John the Baptist? In a sense, John the Baptist is the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit even before his birth, when Elizabeth reported to Mary that the babe in her womb leaped for joy as Mary arrived pregnant with Jesus to visit and assist her cousin. John the Baptist was the Elijah promised to come before the arrival of the Messiah. He also completes the cycle of prophets that began with Elijah. In John, the Catholic Catechism tells us, the Holy Spirit begins the restoration of man to the divine holiness, prefiguring what he would achieve with and through Christ. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism. Please visit us at our website, www.maltausa.org.
Speaking 200 to 400 words a minute, and that's the way that Hammond organ is, 200 to 400 notes per minute. This is Dr. Ray here. I'm talking to an anonymous caller from North Dakota. She raised her children pretty much by herself. They were 5 and 10 when Dad had left the family. She raised them. Now they're well into adulthood, and they've just got all their resentments, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. My guess would be they're not exactly running their lives all that well. It's typically there's a relationship here, and that is the more poorly that the adult child runs his or her life, the more likely they are to blame the parents for this. Is that your case here, Mom?
No, I can't say that. They both have great jobs and proud of them that way, but
great job doesn't mean you run doesn't mean you're running your life well.
Well, not my religious standards. I don't like that. They both live with men that are 15 and 25 years older than both of them, which I feel it equals some daddy issues. But
now you see what you did? You see what you
what
just did? Well, I said they probably aren't running their lives very well, and you said, yeah, they are. They got good jobs. And then you said,
they went to college.
Then you said, wait a minute. Then you said they have no religion, and they're living with guys who are well older than them.
Right, now, but that's what their dad showed them. Their dad showed them.
Well, I don't think their dad showed them that. I think the culture showed them that. But given that, though, I'm not here to critique them. I don't know them. But what I'm saying is the way they're living is diametrically opposed to the way you raised them or tried to raise them. And you said, I want to stand up to them. My suggestion would be, no, you don't stand up to them. You just ask them. If they make a snooty remark, you say, where's that coming from? What did I do as a mother that you think that? You're just going to ask them. You're not going to say, I wish you wouldn't do that because I'm your mother and that really hurts my feelings. That they know that. They're doing it because they don't care that it hurts your feelings. So I would suggest that when they do this, you look kind of dumb and you say, what prompted you to say that? What is it about me that you think that? Now, you're going to hear some stuff you don't want to hear because it's coming from their perspective. But your goal is essentially to say, okay, I hear what you're saying. I'm not going to be bothered by it, but I really kind of want to know where it's coming from. That's what I'd say. So let me summarize this for you, my dear. You can reach out to them any way you want. And as long as you don't give them the power to make you feel miserable, then you won't be quite so scared to have them around. That's what I mean. Holiday season might be a time to do that. If you can handle it. I think you can. Hey, come on. It can't be harder than raising two kids on your own as a single mom. Come on. What are a few snooty remarks? Big deal, right?
What's the name of your new book coming out?
Well, I don't want to give the title away because it's a good title. But it's basically going to deal with human relations. Now, I have two other books that would relate to that. One is called Thinking Like Jesus, and the other one is Jesus the Master Psychologist. Now, both of those books deal with a lot of getting along with people.
Okay.
All righty, my dear. Thank you. All righty, honey. I'll talk to you. Let's see. That guy. What? Kristen from Boston, Mass. That big, I think it's 1060 over there, that big 50,000-watt torch that's part of Station of the Cross. Hi, Kristen. How are you? Hey, Kristen. Yo. Did you doze off?
Can you hear me?
There you are. Thank you, dear.
There I am. Hi, thank you for taking my call, Dr. A. How are you today?
Nothing gaining on me that I know of.
Good.
I'm looking over my left shoulder and nothing's coming up. Nothing's coming up on the inside lane.
Well, thank you again for taking my call.
You got some brats.
You probably heard. Yeah.
You got some brats coming over, huh?
I do. And Dr. A, I've been a teacher for many years of all grade levels and ages and abilities, children with disabilities. I have 3 adopted children of my own. Children in their tantrums don't bother me. Children in their outbursts don't bother me. But these children have zero discipline, and it's extremely disruptive and upsetting to myself, but also my guests.
Did they hurt? Do they hurt your house?
Yeah, a little bit. My dog, who is very social, runs away when she sees them coming and hides upstairs. My teenage and 20-year-old children make themselves scarce as much as possible.
How old are these kids?
7 and 2.
Well, the 2 I can sort of understand, but
she just copies the 7-year-old. Yeah.
So how bad can the 7-year-old be? I mean, he can be obnoxious, or she can be obnoxious. Mm-hmm. Are they punching holes in your wall? Are they kicking over your plants?
Throwing the dog dish, trying to chase after the dog, throwing food, disobeying house rules. And if I, you know, remind, in this house we eat in the kitchen or at the table, I get a very fresh no, and I continue to do what they're doing with no backup from the parents.
Well, can you do something about it?
I do, but it always feels very uncomfortable.
Well, I can see that.
Someone else's child.
Well, sure it does. And most of the time I'm kind of leaning towards you don't discipline somebody else's kid. But at the same time, and I've said this in my grandparent book, at the same time you got a kid running amok in your house, you have every right to put limits on him in your house. You don't throw the dog's bowl. Now, here's your problem. You have no leverage. If you say you don't throw the dog's bowl, he looks at you like, who are you talking to? I throw the dog's bowl. Maybe you don't, but I do. So are you wanting to say... you want to tell them, okay, until you get your kid under control, don't come over?
I don't want to because our family is really close. We've always been really close. We host both sides of the family for most of the holidays, so we do have a crowd. We have a little house. And like I said, there's always been a million kids in this house. Kids don't bother me. Messes don't bother me. But it's just so disruptive and upsetting to pretty much everyone around, and everyone just kind of looks at each other like, who's going to say something? Who's going to say something?
Are these parents oblivious to these nonverbal cues?
They seem to be, which shocks me. It really shocks me. You know, and the most recent visit, there was food all over the floor. I didn't want the dog to get it. So I said to the 7-year-old, can you just wipe this up with the napkin for me real quick while I get the dustpan and brush? And I got a very fresh no as a response.
All right, hold on a second, my dear. That music's going to cut us off. You stay right there. I'm going to see if we can come up with something on this. This is Dr. A. Thank you for joining me.
Welcome to Spirit of Stewardship. Jeremy Belsky is your host for real-life stories, encouragement, and ideas to enhance your own gifts of work, wealth, and wisdom in response to God's blessings for you.
I'm Jeremy Belsky, and today's topic is Eucharistic Stewardship, bringing Christ to people and people to Christ. Question: do you believe Jesus to be truly present in the Eucharist? If you are Catholic, then your answer should be a resounding yes. The pinnacle act of stewardship through our Christian faith as Catholics is to bring Christ to people and people to Christ. As Catholics, the number one way to ultimately achieve this way of life is through receiving the Eucharist. The minimum requirement of receiving Jesus through the Eucharist coincides with the third commandment, keep holy the Sabbath, and thus receiving communion at Mass. But if you want to go above and beyond what's expected, then perhaps consider making daily communion a top priority, or encourage others to make this positive change with you. The sacraments of Holy Communion and Reconciliation are two of the most powerful and transforming ways to bring you closer to the love, peace, and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Another act of stewardship to bring one into communion with Christ might initially start by first bringing that person into the Catholic faith. Since the Eucharist is the focal point of our faith, your knowledge of the Eucharist is important. However, that's where priests in the RCI program can assist in explaining our faith and the role of the Eucharist. In summary, spend some time in prayer to discern how the Eucharist can play a greater role in a stewardship way of life for you or for someone you care. This is Jeremy Belsky, your host for Spirit of Stewardship.
To learn how you can better share your talents and resources, contact your local parish priest. Your level of involvement in the church now positively impacts our faith in the future.
Thank you for joining me. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Program Doctor is in. Boatload of calls up there. All I had to say was lines were open and you people came flooding in. I appreciate that. I thank you. I'm talking to, let's see where I'm at over here. Oh, yeah. Talking to Kristen from Boston. Kristen, you still there?
I am.
Well, you got a problem. And the problem is the parents aren't going to do anything about it.
Correct.
So you can do damage control to your house, which is about all you can really do. If he's not going to wipe up his mess, you're probably going to have to wipe it up. You have to weigh it. You have to say, all right, the kid's obnoxious and the parents don't do anything about it. Of course, they're making him obnoxious by not doing anything about it. He's probably not obnoxious by nature.
And that's the sad thing.
It is sad because people don't like the kid.
Not the children.
That's exactly right. They're looking at the kid. They don't like the kid. And these parents are setting this kid up to be unlikable, which is really an ugly thing to do to a kid. So
I guess my question to you, do I speak to the parent and risk? Harm the relationship.
That's it. That's really it. You have to decide. You weigh it, and you decide, okay, can we put up with this kid and just grit our teeth and let him be a jerk because their parents let him be that way, and just try to ignore it as best we can, or have a little powwow maybe with a few of your relatives, your own kids, and say, look, you can't retreat from the kids. You got to stay down here with the family. Maybe they'll say something. Maybe say, Mom, you're not going to say it. I am.
Yeah.
Why don't
yeah.
you do something about him? Why do you allow him to act that way? You know, that, of course, that'll be a big blow up and they'll storm off. I'm sure of it. But if you know that'll happen, you have to decide. Or you just say, we grit our teeth. We try to do damage control here and not let him trash our house and run upstairs when we don't want him upstairs in the bedrooms, because I'm going to go get him and I'm going to bring him down by his hand. And hopefully these parents, and I know you haven't told me anything about the parents, but I would have to wonder what their parenting style is, that they just have this hands-off kind of thing. Either they're lazy or they're educated, enlightened parents who just think you don't put limits on a kid. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it really does come down to what is their philosophy with this kid. Are they just lazy? Or this is what seven-year-olds do? Or we practice a kind of parenting that is really hands-off, and we just need to reason with him on how to tell him to do good things, make good choices. I don't know. But usually that's entering into all this. So, my dear, you got yourself a choice to make. You really do.
Okay.
You do. You got to decide, okay, we're not going to let this ruin the whole thing, or we're just going to grit our teeth and try to ignore the kid as best we can, and I will discipline him however I can, when I can, knowing that your brother-in-law will probably get ticked.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You could even, you know what? You can even discipline him. If you want to blow the lid off this, all you have to do is say, okay, because you did this, you have to sit in this chair. Oh, look out. Woo-hoo! Who knows what'll happen then?
Yeah. I've seen them make that attempt, but they will, you know, it's the sit in the chair and 2 seconds later he's up and they just let him get up.
Yeah.
So there's no meaning to that for him.
Yeah, it's kind of sad what's going on in so much of parenting these days. Very, very sad.
Mm-hmm. Very
sad.
So.
All righty, my dear. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care.
All righty. Bye now. We're getting so many calls like this. Let me go instead to something I said. Come from, I don't let my grandkids do things that I don't want them to do. Rosemary has that. All right, let's go to Sid. Sid from Oregon. Grandson, 14-year-old, has decided he is transgender. Hi, Sid. How are you?
Real good.
You know, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, I never, ever got this question. I've been a shrink for over 40 years. Only in the last couple have I started getting endless. My adolescent is trans. My 13-year-old granddaughter is trans. Is trans. I don't know when they're going to start taking a serious look at the social factors involved in all of this. So now you have a grandson, 14 years old. He says he's trans. What do his parents say?
Well, I got a call from them and said that he's trans and he wants to be called Kate. And it was just, the wife and I just about hit the floor.
So they're perfectly fine with it.
That's the way it sounds. I don't know.
You want to call him Kate?
Nope.
You don't have to call anybody anything just because they tell you you have to call them something. If I say to somebody, call me Ray, or call me Dr. Ray, and they go, no. Well, you got to call me what I want. Now, one would make the argument, well, that's different. This is his identity now. This is not just a name. This is a summary of who he is now. I think the question becomes on this, Sid, what are the factors entering into this child's deciding this at age 14? Okay, which raises, of course, the question of the natural turbulence in adolescence regarding all kinds of things. But somehow, when a child says, I'm not the sex I was born as, we've now gotten to a point, at least a significant part of our culture has gotten to a point, that you don't even question it. You don't even ask questions. You don't even explore it. So what would happen if you just didn't call him by any name? What would the parents do? Would they write you off?
I'm not sure. I mean, right now, Christmas does not look good, and I don't want him coming into our house if he wants to be called Kate.
Would you lose, and is this your son or daughter?
My son.
Would you lose your son?
There's been a, to me, there's been a little separation going on, so it's, we could, yeah.
And I'm going to assume that they probably left their religion.
Oh, yeah, they aren't, okay. I don't think they're practicing anything.
Okay, so their view is, okay, let's let the culture shape how we think.
Yep.
Well, at this point, you can, if it were me, I personally wouldn't not allow him in my house, okay? If, in fact, this is a confused young man, I'm not going to say, therefore, because of your confusion, stay away from me. I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
I'd let him come in the house, but I probably would avoid the topic and say, okay, I'm not gonna get into this topic. Grandpa, you have to call me Kate. Well, son, I've always known you as John. That's a little confusing for me. I don't quite understand how you decided this. You know, you could even ask your own questions. How'd you come to this?
Mm-hmm. I felt it came from the school somewhat, what they're kind of teaching in school.
I don't doubt that. Many schools do this in terms of you need to get comfortable with who you are, what you declare you are. I saw something. This is fascinating. I saw a situation where a guy was interviewing college students, and he said, I'm a 6 foot tall Chinese woman. And he said this to a college co-ed. And he said, what would you say if I told you that? And she said, well, who am I to say you're not?
Oh.
Yeah. Kind of tells you. I mean, you know, who am I to say you're not? That's who you are? Okay, that's who you are. So, given that, my friend, you're in a ticklish position. I certainly wouldn't write your grandson off, but okay. I would be confused. I would say, okay, how did this come about? I don't understand. You want to explain this to me? Well, I've always felt this way, Grandpa, ever since I was two. Well, you don't know that, and I've heard a lot of kids say that kind of thing, but so much of it is it's a huge social component, and my profession better start looking at this.
Yeah, he's got a younger brother, too, so I'm not sure how that's going to affect things. Right. So,
and don't forget, you're already unrelatable, Grandpa, because you got this religion thing.
That's probably true.
It is true. And it's sad because the distress among adolescents and young adults is off the charts in terms of depression, anxiety, overdose, suicides, discontent, overall life misery. It's off the charts. But yet we won't look back and say, maybe this has something to do with our culture-wide abandonment of morality, traditional morality and understanding that has served our society quite well for a long time. All right, my friend, thank you very much. This is Dr. Ray. I will return, I hope.
Did you know Franciscan University of Steubenville offers a Master's of Arts in Catholic Studies? Our unique program offers courses from many academic disciplines, literature, biology, art, theology, psychology, all taught from a distinctly Catholic perspective. This 100% online program can be completed in just 1 year. Learn to see the world through a Catholic lens with a Master's in Catholic Studies from Franciscan University of Steubenville. Find out more at franciscan.edu/MCS.
Now that the abortion problem has been returned to the states, we will most likely be called upon to give a reason for our pro-life activism. But this is more than a mere political issue. It's an opportunity to present the gospel of life. It's an opportunity to demonstrate the kingdom's view of this world and of human life. And the central question in this dispute is going to be, what is the status of preborn human life? Many Christians need to recognize that, yes, we have to do the political thing, but we have greater opportunities here. We have an opportunity to engage people about the very meaning of life itself. I mean, that's why John Paul II wrote the Gospel of Life. He didn't just write some sort of political anti-abortion tract, right? He's talked about the Gospel of Life.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. Once declared, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Those of you patiently waiting on the line, you know the rule. You're on the line, you call back anytime in the future. Indefinite, your first stop. That's the way it is, because you've waited patiently. Good calls up there. I got an email from a woman chastising me because there was a call about grandparents who could not visit a grandchild. They were not vaccinated. And their adult children said, don't come around your grandchild, your grandchildren, if you don't take the vaccine. That's our rule. And, of course, at that time, it was just beginning to trickle out that the vaccine was not 100% effective. It did not prevent transmission, and it did not prevent reception. And since then, the CDC has come out and said, you do not treat vaccinated or unvaccinated any different. So, well, that was their recommendation anyway. So Elizabeth is basically still not allowed to see her granddaughter, who's 5 years old, because Elizabeth has not gotten the vaccine. She's chosen to exert her medical freedom.
Now, Dr. Ray, medical freedom ends when the society is at risk.
Yeah, but there's the evidence is coming out more and more now that the vaccine is not harmless. So I got chastised by this lady because I said, well, that seems to be a bit of an emotional blackmail. You don't do what we want, you can't see your grandkid. And the lady chastised me. She said, what kind of people are they? They're selfish. They should just simply do what they have to do to get to see their grandchild. So that's what she said. Elizabeth, you there?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, thank you for taking my call, Doctor.
So what's their reasoning after all this time?
I think because when the vaccine first came out, my son and I had a heated discussion about whether or not one should get it. And his final words were, Mom, you're going to get the vaccine. I think they're trying to control my life.
They want you to get the vaccine for your sake, and they're using your granddaughter as leverage.
Yes. Because they've taken her out in public, you know, without a mask, and they know she's around unvaccinated people.
There's two factors here, and these are indisputable. Healthy young children are at virtually zero risk of COVID lethality. Virtually zero. Okay, that's clear. That is statistics. You cannot argue with it. It is there. It is all over the place. This is not right-wing news. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. The second thing is the vaccine would not keep you from giving COVID to anybody. And it would not keep you from getting COVID. And as I said, the CDC has come out and said they recommend don't treat vaccine people or unvaccinated any different, even though we demonized them for the longest time. Now, would that make any difference to your son, citing those figures, telling him to go to the CDC website? Would that make any difference?
I told him that. I told him what the CDC website said. And I think he's under the pressure of his wife, who's controlling the situation. And they let her mom go to my granddaughter's birthday parties and Christmas gatherings because she's vaccinated, you know. But they're just singling me out, you know. I don't understand.
Do they not like you to begin with?
No, they do. I mean, before COVID, they would be like, come over anytime, you know. They love her to see grandparents.
Well, I guess I would ask your son this, Elizabeth. I would say, and how long in this COVID response will you keep me from seeing little Nell if I don't get a vaccine? How long? Are we talking till she's 12? What are we saying here? That's what I would want to know. Oh my gosh. Oh wow. Totally against the science. Totally against the science. Walk with God. Thank you for joining me. Hold your kids tight by the hand if you're allowed.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.